Just don't get so hooked on one or the other that you fail to use the tools available. Because as you move into meditation, you have to go through hypnosis. And very often, into meditation, you're trying to escape, not gain. You truly are not necessarily trying to gain what you think you are. You are trying to escape the responsibility of where you are. And while you're in this state of nirvana and experiencing with the light, that's wonderful. But on the physical plane, that's not necessarily where you're supposed to be functioning. So just be cautious. And for goodness sakes, to reclaim your balance in any situation, be able to go there into that light. You see, we had a little experience here on the weekend that Dorma, EJ, and Rick were with the greatest teachers of hypnotherapy that there is. Hypnosis, stage magic. And in discussing and trying to come into some idea to a lay audience what you are talking about, and to begin with visualization, visualize the spiraling or the moving chakras and their energy colors. See, well, the teacher chose to stop when you get to the violet. Actually, the violet is the heaviest, or the level getting to the crown chakra. And of course, any of you who've studied New Age know that that moves into the indigo blue. But what happens with such as Rick and EJ and Dorma, they go immediately to the one on the top, which is light. It's white, for lack of better description, because it is up here, and there is only light up here. So to go and stop at violet is impossible for someone who has progressed beyond into the light experience. And these are truly the lessons that are wonderful, and I would love to spend hours on these lessons with you, because you can understand the different tonal aspects of your makeup, and how you are made up, and why you have tones, and why you have light rays, and how they integrate, and why they are located as they are in the energy pattern that you are. But we got to get rid of lawsuits first, because that keeps you down here at this level of having to confront whatever is around you. Well, you're just not far enough along to be able just to give your experience to this higher form of being. That doesn't mean that all of you have to be locked here, or even some of you. You will go to whatever level of understanding you have acquired. And all the more wonderful if immediately upon meditation you move into the light. For one thing, it saves you an awful lot of time. It's a shortcut to balance. And it's rejuvenating. You can look at it and everything else is trivia. And then when you move back into the trivia, you can look at it for what it's worth. And you can look at every experience that comes along with joy for being allowed the experience. And you see, we're not all there yet, because some of these experiences we are finding negative. But you will notice that each subsequent effort, each subsequent assault is taken more in its balanced state of just being. It's not going to destroy you. And you have to look at it as, what can you do in this game to make this counter move? And all that's happening now is the counter elements are trying to just hit you and make you fold, because they know where you're vulnerable. You don't like to be called a liar. You see, there's something very interesting Mr. Horn doesn't give a damn. He functions in that level. It brings pain to you because you're trying to base your life on truth and light, and these dark, secret, undercutting deals are insipid to you. You don't fit there. You don't understand there at that level. So you're offended by it. But the more often you can move up here, beyond it, and look at it objectively, the more quickly we grow and the more rapidly we can change. Because you have to want change. And in wanting change, you have to be willing to stay in that slightly lower level of action. But you've got to get up there in the light. You have to. Anybody else want to?
So as we travel up into that light and in a sense through meditation, get out of here, or for all of us, we have our different ways to define rejection, or there's not enough love, or it's just hard to stay in the presence of these people, persons in our personal life, or whatever it is. I step up into that world and basically don't communicate down here. I just let them be what they are. So that meditative experience goes up to being consciousness. But what you're saying with the word hypnotic is that we want to take a thought form into that light where now we're going to create something?
Well, basically when you move out of the hypnotic state, you've already left it because it is in that hypnotic trance state that the subconscious is working. And in that higher realm of experience, of meditation, the subconscious is there, but it is open and is just receiving. Does that make sense to you? In the hypnotic state, the subconscious is working and it's inputting as well as receiving.
So hypnotic's not a word that indicates we're losing control of somebody.
No.
Or something's hypnotizing
absolutely
us.
Absolutely not. Hypnosis is absolutely a state of altered attention, that's all. And it is a state where the critical mind is set aside. You're not criticizing absolutely everything. You are uninhibited. The critical mind is set aside and you focus. When you ask, is Dorma in a trance? Yes, she is. And you can always judge that by her eyes when she comes back. She hasn't been anywhere. She is in a hyper state of alertness, as a matter of fact. Where we are focusing, for instance, if someone is reading, whether she's interested or not, we are focusing on every word. Every word. If I cannot focus on every word as you are receiving it, I can't comment on it. And she doesn't have to concern about that. And I know that it's very difficult for you to understand the difference, but it is through hypnosis. That is the easiest way to begin to receive because you're not turning your dials yourself. You will allow a tune in. So that's almost a physical place of being able to reach into mind and function. And of course, you're talking about going on in meditation to the light and getting in it. And that, of course, is the most comfortable and best place to be. Wouldn't we all just love to be there all the time? And it's absolutely true. Once you have experienced, you can let everything else in the world be. As long as you know. Because God doesn't break promises. You just have to have faith in that God. Because you are the ones that block the flow. God cannot even push it on you if you are not receiving. And that's what happens to most people. They keep asking and asking and asking and asking and asking, but they don't ever accept it. They don't give it up and accept that it's done. If you want something badly enough, you give it up and assume it's done. That is faith. That is knowing. And each one of you has that knowing at the gut level of your being, or you wouldn't keep plugging along at it. But then the little nagging doubts. Well, I've been disappointed before. Okay, are we going to insist upon being disappointed again? That's what it amounts to. We can continually set up for you to receive. And if you turn your hands over, how are you going to catch it? If you deny, how can you have it? Well, it's a very big responsibility, because most of you in this room, because there seems to be a focus up here on this chair, well, let them worry about it, and then when it's done, I will be here, because they must be more sure than me. Well, the facts are, at some level, they are more sure. But on the human surface level, especially under the barrage that happens, they become very unsure of their physical ability to believe. And yet when they look at the ridiculous array that they have created to bring abundance into the circle, and if ever we get to the point where we can discuss it, because we don't have so many enemies around, or we can sit in an evening and just laugh about it and discuss it, you would understand the creative ability that will structure such an outrageous plan that it has to work. It has to work because it is so incredibly outrageous. But the mind, once it has laid its scenario, can then see how it can work, and then you will allow it to be received. It's that simple. It is that simple. And all of you sit in that level up here between hypnosis and being, and you know that what I say is absolutely right. And then you move back into this form, and you can't grasp it. But when you must create this, whatever it is, when you must, there is no other alternative. You must create it. It is astounding what the mind will do to make it work. And we're making it work. And Dorma is just like the rest of you, but I need it to work today for me, please. Well, there's no yesterday or tomorrow, so it's whatever and whenever it is today, my dear. When you get it, it will be now.
Yeah.
And so it didn't come yesterday. Did that stop you from having now? Today? Well, it could have. It could have. But didn't. So are we going to continue to guide our every now moment by what could have? It didn't. And I got a chance to do a few other things. You are not the only energy that needs to be convinced. Any one of you, you are all fragments, but you are group consciousness. Or you wouldn't be here. Right now, you wouldn't have put up with being here today. And if I do nothing more than bring you curiosity to cause you to search, then I've done my job. And you're fulfilling yours. Because you're going to find, when you look, that I'm exactly who I say I am, and it's pretty high ranking. And we have a lot of fun with it. And I think that any of you who receive from these energies and recognize these energies, I usually do get the podium if I come in and want it. And that always astounds the ones who are in the little group, inclusive, because you understand there really is no pecking order. There is great reverence. God does not ask worship. God asks respect. That's all. Reverence and respect. Because God respects you. And our ideal is to reach that perfection where we please God all the time. And I can do that. But when I do that, I don't please you much of the time. And so I have to make that choice. And obviously, I do not please Ann and Leon any of the time.
So it would seem that some of the feelings we would have for Horn, who doesn't care at all, or for George and his mistakes, which hopefully he could turn around if he'd wake up, or Leon, etc., is sometimes a sense of real compassion.
Oh, yes.
For how much joy they're missing in their lives because of their choices. And I remember some of the best experiences I think I've had when I would see some of the real masters, or what I called saints, or at least valid in their teachings, when they would roll in the dust of the soil where their teacher had walked and get something from that experience. And maybe it means love for God, love for Guru, and we want to feel that, even that gratitude toward you, Commander, but of course your instructions are not to worship you. So maybe without upsetting this teacher, you could accept a simple thank you?
I would accept that, because we are walking in this journey together. And I certainly appreciate every one of you who honors your teachers. You, every one of you, have guides and teachers. And don't forget to honor them. And I honor these ones. It sounds as if, you know, I'm putting them down. I respect and honor such as Leon and George Green. You don't know their contract, and you don't know how much they give to allow us to learn. And it's exactly what Dave said. Have compassion for them, because there is no joy in their beings at all. None. It is a dark void. And I often think that we don't clarify nearly or define nearly well enough the difference in pity and compassion. Pity seems to fit more suitably, because it's very difficult to consider compassion in a situation where choices are so easily made to change a direction, and refusal is there. And I have to pity refusal. And when I say I don't care what they do, that is a slang term of your own. What I may feel or wish that it would be is not my business. And therefore, I have to categorize it as I can give no care to that. I can give no energy to their choices, because they have chosen other than my attention, and I must release them. And if you don't learn anything else from me as a teacher, you must learn to release. Forgiveness does not enter this picture. Life is. And whatever is chosen happens. Forgetting is not in this picture either. If you forget your lessons, you deserve what you get. So you must remember. So forgiving and forgetting, that's a nice thought. You must forgive and you must forget. No, you mustn't. Forgiveness should be the unconditional acceptance of whatever has happened. Forgetting it is a no-no. those are your lessons. So to talk about, oh, would you forgive me my errors, my whatever, it's not even a question. And I believe that that's what Leon reaches for when he talks about unconditional love. There's unconditional forgiveness. It doesn't enter the question for me. And I'm certainly not going to spend any time at revenge. But I must stand to counter that which is wrong. And when one say, well, that is so far out it doesn't even deserve an answer. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. That also is a cop-out. You've offended me. It doesn't even deserve an answer. That's for one who accepts the lie just told. And I no longer will do that. And when we talk about my position, teachers must teach in levels of acceptance. And we're way up here now. I'm not going to play games with you ones. People are welcome to come and welcome to catch up. And I may say things today to a new person that will blow them completely away. And they can go back and say, oh my God, he said he was God and he did all this stuff. And he said, you mustn't forget. Don't take these things out of context or you're going to get mud all over your face. And that's what happens every day in every way. And I know that everybody around cannot possibly read everything we've written. But you should try. Especially if you question or condemn. Because most of the condemnation that is thrown at us is completely countered in almost every journal. If one's just listened, if one's just read, they'd know different. And how many of these evangelical teachers have you encountered who will say, throw those journals in the garbage, and yet they have never opened one? I tell you to do everything you can, read everything you can get your hands on, go research it to the limits of your capability to do so. Truth will stand into infinity. And frankly, I'm not going to be overly modest. I will stand with it. Where you find truth, you are going to find me. And I will be as gentle as I possibly can. But of the troops that are here to do this mission, it's an exacting job. And I am not worth my weight in light if we don't teach you correctly for your own survival. We cannot succeed at what needs to be done, and I'm not interested in the physical beings running around like a bunch of ants on the face of your ground. Because that, to the universe, is what you are. Just another ant bed. Struggling over a leaf part. Or a dead fly. Doing silly, silly things. And look how often it is over the commodity of money, greed, and power. And that's what we are about. Man has to have truth. It was promised to man. And someday in the eons to come, upon this old orb, recovered or not, the journals will be found. Just like the Sumerian texts. And you'll find out how society was during this period of time. Now, will you go into radiance or will you go into annihilation? Or will you simply continue in this fashion that you have molded for yourself? Any way it goes, you are caught experiencing in it because you are human manifest physical beings. And I prefer that you learn to ascend in the light than in the atomic blast.
Sure. Me
too.
Shall we call it a day?
Yes.
Then I certainly suggest we call it an evening. So, good evening.